I'm going to start with a joke.
Anybody who knows me knows that I always start everything with a joke. A devout old shepherd lost his favourite Bible while he was out looking for a wayward lamb. 3 weeks later, a sheep walked up to him carrying the Bible in its mouth. The shepherd couldn't believe his eyes. He took the precious book out of the sheep's mouth, raised his eyes heavenward and exclaimed, "It's a miracle." "Not really," said the sheep. "Your name is written in the inside cover." Just a groan from the front. Yeah. Losing things. Before I start this morning, I'm going to note that for some today is not an easy day. Because secular society calls this Mother's Day. And for some people, that can have all sorts of difficult connotations, whether you have lost a mother, whether you are not a mother and would have loved to have been, or whether your mother was not someone perhaps you wanted to celebrate. So it can be a difficult day, but the most important thing as a Christian is to remember that this is Mothering Sunday and not Mother's Day. That doesn't mean we don't celebrate everyone who is a mother, but we also celebrate all those who mother in whatever capacity, whether aunt or sister, or as you get older, a daughter who looks after their mother as a mother. So it's important as we look at the story today about Jesus and his parents that we remember that Mothering Sunday started when the church returned home to its mother church. The mother that had nurtured, looked after, educated, baptized them. That is the origin of today. And just like that, the only story we have of Jesus as a child is about him returning to the temple, to the center of his faith and of his family's faith. We know that he grew up in a family with siblings who weren't always complimentary to him. So if you are a brother or sister whose sibling is not complimentary, Jesus has walked in your shoes. His father was just a humble carpenter. So why did the gospel writers include this story about Jesus in their writings, when it appears to be just part of normal, natural family life? But let's set the scene. Once a year, Jesus and his family, along with many other families, trekked a long journey to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover, where God had set free the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. And it reads, every year they did this. They went to Jerusalem, and when Jesus was 12 years old, they went to the feast as they always did. It was probably a time of great excitement and joy. So my question for you, and I might ask Simon to wander around with the mic, if that's okay. What is your favourite celebration that you celebrate every year, or place that you go every year with your family and lots of other people? So, who's got somewhere that they really like going every year, or a time that they like to celebrate? Some of the children, maybe.
Come in.
Isabel, what do you...
Potty Christmas, that's
why. Potty Christmas. What is that? Explain a bit more.
It's when all of our family, almost every year, there's somebody that turns one in one of the tents. Wait, why did I just call it Potty Christmas? It's called the Big O. I'm going mad. I am.
Do you want to come and preach this morning?
Okay.
Is that...
Potty Christmas and the Big O. The Big O. And it's where somebody, they would have turned 10 or 20 or 30 or you get it.
Okay, so it's every 10 years. It's zero. Okay, got it?
No, can you just help
Because we didn't hear it down here.
When somebody turns like a 10, like there's a 0.
Oh,
in it.
I see.
So what do you call it? What's it? Not a potty.
The big O.
The big O. The big O.
Which, when you're a child, 10, is not an issue, 20. But when you're older, is a big issue, isn't it?
Anyone else?
What about other things people do once a year that they love or celebrate? I've got one down here, Simon.
Okay, I'm coming. I didn't do my workout.
We're not going this year, but once a year for a very long time we have been to Spring Harvest, which is a Christian conference celebration in Minehead we normally go to.
Spring Harvest, yeah, that's a very good one, because that is one where lots of people go and you could possibly get lost, just like Jesus did, or did he? But there are lots of things, birthdays, Easter, Christmas. We love all these celebrations. They're great times of joy, and we get together with family. And that's what Jesus was doing. He wasn't just travelling with his mum and dad, like we might think. He was travelling with all his extended family. And it reminds us that Jesus was truly God, but also fully human. And he grew up in a family. And why did they centre this around his 12th year? Well, as a Jewish boy, this would have been the year leading up to his bar mitzvah, when he became a man. He would have been studying the scriptures and learning all about what God had done. And so it's a very apposite time for the gospel writers to write about this. But this year was different. When he was 12, they went up. They'd gone every year. He hadn't got lost before. Why this time? On their way back, what happened? Can you tell me what happened on the way back? Mary and Joseph are looking for him. What happened? They couldn't find him. They couldn't find him. Because he'd stayed back in Jerusalem. But don't think this means they're bad parents. Oh, skipped. I seem to have lost a... Oh yeah, there's the thing. So when the feast was over, they went home. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. And Joseph and Mary travelled for a whole day, and they thought that Jesus was with them in a group. They began to look for him among their family and friends, but they didn't find him. So hands up, who has ever been lost, and who has ever lost a child? Yeah. I thought there might be a lot here who've lost a child. And how did you feel when you lost your child? Was it relief? Sick, yeah. So you can imagine what Mary and Joseph felt like. This is my nephew, Ted. That was a long time ago, because he's about 9 there, and he's 43 now. But that's in Florida, and I took him and his brother on my own to Florida, and we went here. Who knows where that is?
Orlando.
Yeah, but where is that specific place? Anybody know where that is?
Epcot.
Yeah. We went to Epcot one day. And you can imagine how many people there are in Epcot of a day. And we were in the centre at the gifts area. His older brother and I thought he was with us until we looked round and realised he wasn't. Now, you feel sick as a mother losing a child. Can you imagine what an aunt feels like when she loses her sister's child? I have to say, hands up, as a Christian, my language was not very Christian. We searched for a good 20 minutes. His brother getting more and more anxious. His brother's only 12, so he was quite anxious. I was quite anxious. But eventually, we walked around the corner, and there he was, looking at all the stuff he could buy that he couldn't afford. And I kind of didn't just say, "Oh, good, we found you." I said something else, which he's never let me forget, even though he's 43 now. But his words to me were very much like those of Jesus. Well, I wasn't lost. I knew exactly where I was. Why didn't you think I'd be here? And that's very much what happened with Jesus' parents. And it's important to note that Mary and Joseph weren't bad or neglectful parents any more than I was a neglectful auntie. They didn't actually lose Jesus or leave him behind because they thought he was travelling with their relatives. They thought he was safe. And you know, sometimes in life we lose track of Jesus. Sometimes we lose him in the crowd. The crowd of things going on, the crowd of things at school, the crowd of things that our friends are doing. We can get lost or lose sight of Jesus. We're going to play a game. How good's your memory? I want you to remember everything that's on that tray. Okay? I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Right. What's gone? No. Richard.
Comb.
Yes, that's one of them. I heard somebody over there.
Sock.
Yay, well done. Give yourselves a round of applause. That's very good. Sometimes we're not very observant. We can sometimes lose Jesus in the big picture. But one of the important things that Jesus wanted to teach is that we should always keep our eyes on him. Because he is never lost. We are the people who are lost, not Jesus. So keep your eyes on Jesus every day. Don't lose him in the crowd of life. The fact is that Jesus was not missing, just like my nephew. He knew where he was. It says after 3 days they found him. Jesus sitting in the temple with the religious leaders, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard were amazed at his understanding and answers. And when Jesus' parents saw him, they were amazed. His mother said to him, "Son, why did you do this? Your father and I were very worried about you. We've been looking for you." Jesus said, "Why did you have to look for me? You should have known that I must be where my father's work is." Now, I was going to show a video at this point, but apparently due to copyright reasons, we can't because we're live streaming. So I'm sorry about that. But it was just a video clip of Jesus in the... Well, not Jesus in the temple, but a real... Yeah, it's very clever. I got it from 2,000 years ago. But I think the copyright would have run out if it had been 2,000 years old. We'd have been all right. But it was just a depiction of Jesus answering questions in the temple. Jesus' parents searched for him 3 days. But Jesus was there answering their questions. Because Jesus always wants to answer your questions. What is it you have to ask him? He waits for us. He's not lost. He wants us to come to him and to ask things of him. Ask, he says. Seek. Mary and Joseph knew Jesus was God, but they hadn't fully grasped what it meant for him as he was becoming a man and standing on the brink of his missionary road. They thought he was missing. Sometimes we do as well. We think God is hiding from us. Perhaps things are difficult for you at the moment. Perhaps today is very difficult for you. God is there. In Jesus. He's not lost. He's not missing. And he's willing to come to you and answer your questions. He said, "I am with you always unto the end of the world." You can be sure that he will be with you in whatever's going on in your life. All you need to do is to trust. How can we trust when we don't understand what God is doing? He never changes. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is always with me. Psalm 139 tells us, where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I run from you? He is good. You see, examine and see how good the Lord is. Happy is the person who trusts the Lord. And he is love. In 1 John, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. We can trust God. We don't need to lose him. Jesus knew that in order to grow and learn the ways of God, he not only had to study his scriptures, listen to his Father in heaven, but also live in accordance with his earthly family's wishes. So it tells us that Jesus... Oh, no, that should be gone. Jesus went with them to Nazareth and obeyed them. And his mother was still thinking about all that happened. And Jesus continued to learn more and more and grow physically. And people liked him and he pleased God. You see, even Jesus had to study his scriptures. Even Jesus had to grow in obedience to God and live in accordance with his family's wishes. Because how we live in relationship here in our earthly lives reflects our relationship with God. God wants all our relationships to be right in order that we grow in relationship with Jesus. We're glad that Jesus was fully human as well as fully God, so that he experienced what we experienced, including getting lost when he wasn't. Even being told off by his parents. But because he came and he died for our place and our salvation, he was doing that in accordance with God's will, his Father in heaven's will. He knew what obedience meant right up to death. It's hard sometimes to understand why we're being asked to do certain things, maybe by our parents or others in authority over us. But like Jesus, we are to obey God's wishes for our lives. And it's good to live in right relationships. Of course, there will be times in our life when we're called to choose. And we must always choose to obey God and not man. Just as Jesus stayed in the temple doing his Father's work when his parents thought he should be with them. God always comes first, but we always act with love, explanation, and respect for others. So don't ever believe that you've lost God or you've lost Jesus. And when things become difficult, just focus on him and not the things around you. Because that's what Jesus wants for you. Amen.